Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. Good to see you.
We got a question.
Yes.
Something about what's the difference between weekday preaching and Sunday preaching.
Right. For context, Mass is celebrated every day. So not in every parish every day, but it's always being celebrated. So often priests are celebrating Mass. So during the week, mm-hmm. I mean, we have a lot of things we do, but among those things that we do, we celebrate daily Mass. Mm-hmm. But so how do you approach your daily Mass homilies?
I still prepare a little bit, but much less. Normally, it's much more, you read the Gospel, you read the first reading, and then you get some quick idea. So the homilies are more natural, I suppose, fresher maybe. It's a smaller group, so it helps. There is a great book by the late Bishop of Saginaw, Ken Utener, mm-hmm. Preaching Better, that I would recommend to anybody who is into preaching. And he says that the feedback that people gave a group of priests who were working on improving their homilies was, we wish Father would feel as relaxed on Sunday as he does in the weekday Mass. So it's interesting how maybe there's less expectation, less preparation, but the priest may come across like more authentic or more personal.
So what I do is on Sunday afternoon, I sit down and I make notes for each of the daily homilies. And again, not as much energy or time in preparation as a Sunday homily. But I've heard more often, I think, than I'm comfortable with, that, Father, we wish your Sunday homily was more like the daily homily.
Exactly.
You're more focused with one point. You're more relaxed. And that has been something I've actually been thinking a lot about and struggling with, is in preaching. So it's a formal encounter, and I'm talking about both daily and Sunday mm-hmm. Masses. You know, it's a formal encounter, but I've gotten some feedback lately that we wish you're a little more relaxed, you know, and this goes back to the daily Masses and the daily homilies. I'm a little bit more relaxed there, and people said they wish they had it on Sundays. But anyway, yeah, a little bit of preparation.
I have a
masses.
Spiritual director who is a Jesuit, like you do. We don't have the same spiritual director, but I know they know each other. And he tells me that if I get too nervous about something, and I tend to get nervous about weekend homilies, it's because it's too much about me, and I have to focus on the Gospel and what the homily is for, and less about how will I look like.
Yeah.
It's a good piece of wisdom. Anyway, here we are, Two Guys and a Gospel, today speaking about the art of homiletics, especially weekday homily edition. But here we are to discuss the Sunday homily that we are going to be giving for the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time.
This is going to be for this coming Sunday, August 25th. So I'll read the Gospel mm-hmm. as usual. Where will I read from?
You are reading from Luke's Gospel, Cycle C still, chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. Maybe a good opportunity to remind people that the addition of chapters and verses is a modern invention. The Gospels were not written with chapters the way we think of episodes or chapters today.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, will only a few people be saved? He answered them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. He will say to you in reply, I do not know where you are from. And you will say, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. Then he will say to you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last.
One day I hope to write a book about the actual questions Jesus receives and how he answers them. In many of these encounters with people, the person asks Jesus a question. Sometimes it says they were testing him. Here it's just a question. But the question is wrong. You don't ask Jesus how many or if few are going to be saved. You ask Jesus, what should I do to be saved, right?
Right.
And then this whole gospel is a reminder that we try, especially in our postmodern culture, to avoid discussing the possibility of not being saved or of not going to heaven, for instance, how many funerals we have. Imagine that in a funeral you would say, well, we don't know about salvation because we don't. I'm not sure if this person is going to be saved or not. They would kick me out of my parish,
right,
you
know? Right.
And Jesus here is speaking about the very real possibility that we may not enter the banquet of heaven. So how do we reconcile this with our pop culture idea that everybody is good and everybody will be saved?
In your book, I think an interesting observation will be the way that Jesus answers often is here. He doesn't say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's foreign and frustrating to our Western ears at times, or what we want to hear is yes.
We want answers.
Exactly.
Clear
right.
answers.
And more importantly, I want to use it against someone, someone I don't like and, some sort of argument.
I see where you're going. I would say that that's why some people approach faith from a very legalistic point of view, because that's the clarity of the law. We think, as students of law, you and I know that the law is it's not as clear-cut as we think. There are lots of exceptions and lots of considerations to make a decision. But that's why many people approach faith in a very legalistic way. Because since everything else is very complicated and we don't like this, the blurness of maturity, mm-hmm. we prefer somebody to tell us exactly what we have to do.
And I wouldn't necessarily even use the term legalistic alone, but just simplistic. Back to our soundbite society to say, yes or no, I just want an answer on this. And I'm not saying here that Jesus is saying yes or no. It might be, I think he's saying that some will be saved and some will not be saved, and then explains that a little bit more. But he doesn't say yes or no and leave it there. He says, here, enter into a conversation with me and let me tell you a little bit more here.
What he says very clearly, though, is that we are not going to be saved by belonging to a group, to a tribe or to a group. My being Catholic doesn't save me. Hopefully it's the means to salvation, but I will not be able to say, I'm Catholic, or I'm a priest, or I'm a Spaniard, I get saved. No, it's what you've done with that.
And what I also think this isn't about is solely our efforts. So Jesus says, so strive to enter through the narrow gate, but many are going to attempt to enter, but won't be strong enough. You know, I think Jesus is saying this. It's certainly part of our belief as well that, you know, it's not just our efforts to be saved, but it's our relationship with the Lord. It's his mercy. It's his help. It's his gift, and also our efforts. You know, those things both go together. And there's, as Catholics, we have what I think is a very nuanced understanding
exactly.
of that. And that's where we differ sometimes with other Christians.
There is a great prayer. It was a prayer after communion, and I don't remember the week, and I need to find it because I've mentioned it before. It says, the prayer says, we pray to God that our behavior, our acts, will match the saving grace of God, which is exactly Catholic theology. We are saved by grace, but we hope that our behavior, our attitudes, our, so to speak, works or efforts match that saving grace of God. I think it's a great way to look at it.
This is. And again, at least in an American religious context, this is a pretty, actually, somewhat controversial issue to some, and we have debates about this with those who are non-Catholics.
Let me ask you something. Father Philip, do you think if you were to die today, you would be saved?
That's a really sobering question, that I can look at in a scary way, but hopefully mm-hmm. it's a question that I would say, well, I always need to be ready. So it's motivation to always be ready. It's a really good question.
It's part of the gospel today. There is a sense of urgency.
But I'll tell you what, yeah. when I think of that question, and I do, I think so very strongly of God's mercy, you know, of God's love and mercy, which is greater than anything it can do, is understanding. And, you know, my fear are those areas of my life where I know that I've been unrepentant, you mm-hmm. know, for things that I've done in the past, and I really have not made peace with that.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? When we all die, that's the way it's going to be. We're going to have a lot of unfinished business. And again, where I'll just say it, just I love our faith is our stress on mercy and really second chances, even really even after death, as we think about that reality of purgatory, which is a whole podcast series that we don't need to get into now, but just the church and a God of second chances.
Mm-hmm. I place a lot of trust in God's mercy. In my case, there's no other way.
But what is Jesus saying? You know, so what is this gospel all about? What's going to be important? We've talked about this many times. It's relationship, mm-hmm. I think.
That's what I thought also.
Yeah, you're going to knock on the door and do I know you?
Will I recognize you?
Where are you from? Yeah, do I recognize you and where are you from? And that, again, I think is so very important, beautiful, but also sobering. Just a little bit of, as we move towards the next few weeks, the last line, some are last who will be first and some are first who will be last. You know, this is a connection back, I think, to the Sermon on the Plain from Luke's Gospel, but mm-hmm. that kind of launches us into the next several weeks. In our next episode, I'll mention kind of where we're going in Luke's Gospel here, but this is a little bit of a taste in it, in Luke's now moving into a theme here in his Gospel.
I think we have enough for today. I think it's a great Gospel. It's good to keep these sobering questions constantly in the forefront of our lives, because that's what we live for.
Right. Today, when we record, it's for Daily Mass, the memorial of St. Pius X, a Pope unique in his relationship to the Eucharist and other things. But we collaborate as St. Bernard's and Christ King Parish with St. Pius X Parish in Wauwatosa and have a good relationship. And their pastor, Father Paul, is an avid listener. So happy feast day to that parish whom we work with and to Father Paul. See you next week.
Excellent.
Take care.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.